Hi, this is Paul Glumas again on the 6th of November, 2019. This is being brought to you by General Welfare Presents. And relatively unnoticed in the heat of this I wouldn't call it an impeachment process. I call it a political disintegration process. I wouldn't call it an impeachment process. I call it a political disintegration process, which I'll get to in a second. But somewhat ignored in all of this, there emerged a reality that cannot be ignored for much longer. Something's going to have to be done. And when Donald Trump said in his whole idea of bringing the troops home, he also implied or said that we need them here to defend our nation and our borders. And a lot of people were probably saying, wait a second. What's that all about? Something happened on October 17th, several weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that represents a crossing, the crossing of a profound reality, into a profound reality, and that is the Mexican Special Forces, under the government direction, did an operation in Culiacan to capture the son of El Chapo. And his name is Ovidio. And they had him arrested. And then the cartels opened up with massive firepower and threatened to kill thousands of civilians, if not tens of thousands of civilians throughout the area in the northwestern part of Mexico. And the president of Mexico was forced to agree to let, you know, Ovidio Guzman, the current acting head of the Sinaloa cartel, to go free. And then recently there was a attack on a family, an American family, American Mexican family, which is all over the news. But when you have a situation where the dope cartel has more firepower than the Mexican army, then that is a very serious situation. That is a very serious threat to the existence of Mexico and also the existence of the United States. And I'll go through this a little bit so people have a sense. The Mexican cartels, the drug cartels in Mexico, of which the Sinaloa is probably the major, if not one of the major, have been in alliance with the Obama administration throughout the 8 years of Obama's presidency. They funneled millions and millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, into the Obama campaign through various loopholes, which allowed for small credit card contributions and other loopholes. Obama allowed or participated in the running of military-grade weapons to give them increasing firepower, increasing power. And this has been going on for the entire Obama administration. This is one of Obama's primary financial and political support base, because what the Mexican drug cartels have been able to do is completely, if or almost completely take over the distribution of drugs inside the United States. Whether the drugs are coming from Afghanistan or wherever they're coming from, it's the Mexican cartels that are now have taken over. And they're able to penetrate into the Mexican communities and operate within the Mexican community. And inside the Mexican community, there is a certain fear of these people. And when you have, you know, the tremendous human trafficking going on and all these people are coming in, it's all also being run by these cartels. And also there's a lot of the cartels are running legitimate, you know, avocado ranches and stuff like that. So a lot of the commercial stuff that you're buying is also connected to the cartel. And all the gangs that are connected, that are redistributing, all the networks that are redistributing the drugs internally may not be Mexican, but they are an extension of the cartel. And the political clout that the cartel has in Mexico, and conversely, the political clout that they have inside the United States is quite significant. Two developments in the recent period. One is that as the Chinese are cracking down on the fentanyl coming from China, there's a new cheaper form of fentanyl, a little bit more cut, that may be coming in from China, or they may be producing it in Mexico, but that's now coming in. So the fentanyl problem isn't going to go away because you stop the Chinese element of the fentanyl. It's now going to expand. Also, these cartels have developed a more powerful meth. They call it meth 0.2, which is enormously powerful. And it's much harder to get people off of it. It drives people into this, you know, meth amphetamine high, and it's huge. And you're beginning to see increasingly the human wreckage that this is creating. And when you see people on the street who are jittery or shaking a little, and they have lesions on their face, and they're emaciated, and they're like, you know, and you know there's something is not right. What you're looking at is the Holocaust that's coming into the United States and to the poor. And it's not just in the inner cities, it's not just the downtown, it's also going into the poor rural areas. Entire rural areas are being taken over with these kind of drugs. And the human devastation is far worse than heroin, it's far worse than, it's rapid, you know, it's the destruction of our society, it's a destruction of our population that is, it's happening on a mass scale. So then you have the human trafficking aspect and the prostitution aspect and the slavery aspect of this whole thing, and the corruption aspect. The corruption aspect is huge internally in the U.S. as well as in Mexico. Now, it is estimated by the Mexican government that 60% of Mexico, that is the areas where people live in Mexico, are under the control of the Mexican drug cartels. Okay. And it's also estimated, what I mean by they're under the control of the drug cartel, it means the politicians are owned by the drug cartel. The politicians do not represent the government, they represent the drug cartel in those areas. And then there's 20% of Mexico, according to this study, that is being contested between the government and the cartels. And then there's 20% more of Mexico, which is under the full jurisdiction and political control of the government of Mexico, the federal government of Mexico. So So that is your situation. Now, it's a dual power situation in Mexico. Now, Trump has offered massive military support to AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the president of Mexico. He's a good guy. But he cannot accept that at this time because of the issue of sovereignty. And besides, if you bring the U.S. military in to wipe out the narcotics trade, it's probably going to create far worse problems. What you need to do is cut off the laundering capabilities, the flow of guns, the financial flows. You need to go after it financially. That means going after the international banks. That means going after the... Because what is this? This is the British Empire. This is the real face of the British Empire. Right? It's not, you know, 10 Downing Street and the parliaments and that. It's the real face of this are those people out there that are being destroyed. That's the real face of the British Empire. That's the real power of the British Empire. It's control of vast, irregular armies, drug armies, terrorists, you name it. That's their real power. And the flow of funds from their activities. That's the power that sustains this international financial centers. And this is now going to have to be dealt with. You cannot allow Mexico to fall into the hands of the drug cartels completely. And nor any other Latin American country for that matter. It would be no different than if ISIS took over Syria, had taken over Syria, and spread throughout Europe their terrorism and so forth and so on. It's no different. It's the same kind of structure that the international system has been promoting, the mediating structure, meaning non-governmental structure. It's what the British like to call organized crime, mediating structures, not sovereign, mediating structures. That's what they call it. And that's what they're trying to run the world with. And that's the empire. And only a concerted effort of nations collaborating and going after this. But of course, that begs the question of the whole financial situation, which is coming down. This, to go after the drug trade would only accelerate the process of the collapse of the financial system. So ultimately, you are going to have to bring the major nations together for a new architecture. And that's all implied in a war on drugs. You know, you're not going to go... The U.S. can support with weapons. The U.S. can support the Mexican government with intelligence. The U.S. can do a lot of things to help the Mexican government wage a war against the drug trade. But it's not going to be won by sending in U.S. troops and doing it that way. You can't do it that way. So that's where we are. This is big. And those people who are trying to impeach the president, we had a very interesting experience yesterday. Congresswoman Dingell in the Detroit area, I believe, was confronted with one of our organizers on wanting to that they should be working with Trump, that they shouldn't be impeaching. And in this private conversation, she said, "Well, I wasn't really for impeachment. I'm really not for impeachment. But the pressure that's on us by billionaires like Steyer and Soros is just massive. They are buying up the Congress. The massive pressure that's on us, you have no idea, that's on us Democrats to toe the line on the impeachment. It's coming from outside money. It's not coming from the people. The whole impeachment effort is not coming from the population as such. It's not coming from the constituencies per se. There's massive, the Steyer billionaires, the Bloombergs, the Soros is there. Soros put in $72 million in the last 4 years to buy congressmen, just for congressmen alone. That's not You know, that's a lot of money for congressmen. So all of this is being bought by external money. Where's that external money coming from? Well, in the case of George Soros, is who operates an offshore operation. His funds are black market funds. They're funds that come into the offshore secrecy jurisdiction, and that's where his power lies, is in the offshore secrecy. And he's able to funnel back these funds back into all these causes of his. And the drug legalization, decriminalization campaigns are designed to psychologically get people to accept the reality of drug addiction, of these people that are homeless, who are dying on our streets here in Seattle, is to accept that as a reality. You know, with a law enforcement that won't prosecute property crimes here in King County, a law enforcement that is not giving up on actually the society is giving up on trying to deal with this through rehabilitation, through arrests of those who have the substances and putting them in rehabilitation. They've given up on all of that. So this is all part of destroying the will to resist, to get people to accept, well, if they want to take drugs, I mean, what can I do? You know, it's their choice. They have a choice, right? The whole society is being destroyed this way. And the children are being destroyed this way. The future is being destroyed this way. And that's what all this is all about. This is the British Empire. What did they do to China? Same thing. What are they doing to the U.S.? The same thing. But it's now coming out of the Mexican drug cartels. They have reached that stage where they're going to have to be dealt with, or else we're not going to have a nation, and Mexico isn't going to have a nation. Now, a very interesting development has occurred in another part of the world, where the issue of the Nile River, Russian President Putin had a summit in Sochi with the entire heads of state of Africa, the first one. And of course, he was discussing the massive export of nuclear power to all these African countries, to give them the electricity, to go with the infrastructure that the Chinese are building. And what three of those countries, very prominent countries, Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan, these are countries that are on the lifeline of the Nile. And there's a Renaissance Dam being built, which is a matter of concern for Egypt, because they're at the end of the Nile. What is the water that's coming? And so Putin began a process of a dialogue between these three countries over the question of the Nile and the Renaissance Dam. And Trump has come in to support that process. Trump is now helping to facilitate that dialogue along with the president of Russia. Well, what does that say? That says that Trump is not trying to destroy these African countries, as has been, or to prevent the Renaissance Dam from being built, which is what all the NGOs and the environmentalists and everybody's trying to do. He's not trying to do that. He's trying to do the opposite. He's trying to help the process so that these countries don't go to war over rights over water of the Nile. So that's very important. Well, that indicates that Trump is not in favor of these mediating structures. He's not owned by these mediating structures. And this is very important for the period that we're coming into. Now, the impeachment process is basically one headline after another. You know, it's one alarming headline after another. But when you peel it away and find out what's in it, it doesn't seem like there's much in it. But it's one headline after another. So, in the past, Nancy Pelosi has said that she wouldn't really do this unless there was some bipartisan support. Well, there is no bipartisan support for it. It's being done anyhow. And it's not coming from the Congress. It's the Democrats who are doing this, but they're not really doing it. They're being pummeled with pressure from the Obama, from the intelligence community, from the FBI, and from these massive billionaire involvement in advertisements and so on and so forth, and campaign, and the media. They're being pressured into it. They're being herded into it. And so in that situation, it's getting more desperate. And at some point, the shift will, the Intelligence Committee will forward a grounds for impeachment to the judiciary, and the judiciary will put forward a bill of impeachment, and they will put it before the Congress. And if no Republicans vote for it in the House of Representatives, and some Democrats don't vote for it, but it passes, it's going to look really bad. You have to have an impeachable offense. And they're going to make one up. And it's going to look really bad, okay? And the problem with this is it destroys the ability. It's not that the impeachment will be successful. It's that it destroys the functions of the Congress. And the Congress becomes an unwieldy, unworkable mess. And as we go into the financial collapse, which is coming, which is we're now starting to get into, there is no possible way for, under those circumstances, for the president to go to the Congress and say, look, we're in an emergency, we have to do this, and they'll tell him no. You know, we want to impeach you first. And that kind of environment is very destructive. And this is what they're trying to do, is to set that up. Because they know that once the financial system collapses, then the presidency is the agency that can act. Only the sovereign nation has the power to act, to deal with such a crisis. Otherwise, everything disintegrates. It's the nation state which has the power. Nobody else has. And the presidency is the executive branch, and presidency represents the nation state. The Congress is the legislative branch. The Congress has no right taking over the powers of the executive branch, which is what's been going on. The Congress has no right. The president was elected by the people of the United States, and it's the constitutional responsibility of the president to be the executive and to respond to any crisis that comes. It is not the job of Congress to do that. It's the job of Congress to have some oversight, but not direction. Oversight, but not direction. And it is the power of Congress to legislate laws. So we're looking at it, in that sense, a constitutional crisis, which is not so much, which has been coming for a while. This current Congress is committed to doing whatever the Democratic faction of the Congress is completely going off the deep end, because they're being driven by the intelligence community, by the FBI, by the media, by the billionaires, and they are going off the deep end. And so we're in this very, very difficult situation as a nation. But Donald Trump is making it very clear that he represents the nation state concept. He is not for empire. He is not for the military continuing to back the empire all over the world. He's for defending the nation. And right now, one of the things that is going to be key in defending the nation is what's going to be done with the Mexican drug cartel at this point. It's no different than ISIS, fundamentally. It's the same kind of problem. So I have a couple things to... announcements to make. We're going to start doing LaRouche's economics, showing LaRouche's economic classes at our meetings. And we're going to be having meetings every week now at the Shoreline Community Center at 7 o'clock. The second announcement I want to make is my dear friend and the world's foremost transportation expert, Hal Cooper, who did a lot of the work in terms of the rights of way, the Bering Strait Tunnel, everything. He has passed away a few days ago. And he was definitely a very important person. You know, he kept alive in himself the dream of a world of the economic development. When all of the people around him lost that hope, he kept it alive. And we worked with him. And Hal Cooper was a very important person. And he passed away. He was in his late 70s. And his work has been absolutely crucial for humanity. And I wanted to say that on tape.
Common stock investments have helped to make our country prosperous and powerful. Owning a share in American industry is like owning a share in the future of our nation. But remember, John Q. There is a risk as well as an advantage in owning any kind of property. So get the facts before you put your money to work.